John Engler, the president and CEO of the National Association of Manufacturers, thank you for joining us, talking to us on health08.org.
Thank you very much, Jackie, for the opportunity to talk about manufacturing and healthcare.
The association that you head up represents manufacturers across the country, big ones, little ones, et cetera. What unifies them in terms of how what they view as the most critical issue in the healthcare system today?
I think one unifying common denominator among our members is that when they provide health insurance, which most of them do, is that they're paying for it. So they're very sensitive to the value proposition. They want to provide good health care packages for their employees. Many of them use it as a retention or recruitment tool. But at the same time, they're looking at a very competitive landscape out there, the prices of energy, of the legal system, of transportation. All of that's rising, and health care also is rising. And they're saying, what can we do? We can manage some of these other costs, but health care seems to be virtually unmanageable.
And so controlling costs is their number one issue?
Well, I would say that's the number one concern. The number one issue, I think, is they want to take care of employees who need to be protected in the event of a health emergency, or if something's going on at home, that employee is going to be distracted from his or her job. So I think they want to be able to preserve this as a cornerstone benefit of an employment contract with someone, and that means they need to be able to afford it.
Fewer and fewer employers are offering health insurance now, most particularly among the small businesses. When you hear from your members, when they reach a decision that they cannot no longer offer it, or they have to offer it, but it's more expensive to the employee, what kinds of stories do you hear?
Well, where it happens, and again, our group, the manufacturing, we've probably got 10,000-11,000 members here at the National Association of Manufacturers. All of the larger companies, of course, offer health insurance, and many others who are in the manufacturing sector also do, because it's what's required to be able to compete.
Mm-hmm.
But where they've had a real pressure on is often with the retiree benefits, which have been curtailed and in some cases eliminated. And where that happens, I mean, there's a great deal of regret. That's not something they're pleased about having to do. Many manufacturers benefited from the Part D Medicare drug benefit that they thought that was helpful, and they like the way that's worked. Manufacturers also, when they look at the first thing they'll do before they eliminate a benefit is really try to get a lot more flexibility, and manufacturers have really pushed employees also to pay more of the share of the costs. In fact, in many unionized workplaces, and there are fewer of those in the country today, but where those exist, often the increases in cash have been pretty minimal, because all of the increase in compensations come from the increased health care costs. So it hurts workers in another way, in that there's less not as much in the take-home envelope in order to support that more costly health benefit.
The association has a health care agenda. It's on your website. And I'm not sure if this list is listed in a sense of priorities, but the first one up there is adopt health information technology. I know the association is part of the coalition, the Health IT Now. Is that your number one priority, or your view of how health costs can come under control?
We absolutely believe that technology is a critical part of how you do understand and ultimately control healthcare costs. Because if we look at the impact of healthcare, there are estimates showing that the healthcare spending will double by before 2020. As early in some cases as 2016, that'd be $4 trillion. That'd be $12,000, $13,000 for every person. And so when we look at, we think health information technology provides a lot of information. Plus, we think it's highly complementary to sort of personal responsibility on the part of the employee. It gives them information, and some of that information really helps them to be successful with a prevention strategy. Because we believe in the data, and we believe in our own experiences, that prevention is the single best investment that we can make, And the way to hold down health care costs is stay healthy. You know, stay out of the hospital if you want to keep the costs down.
How much do you think health IT would save?
Well, there are a lot of different numbers. I mean, RAND did a study on health care, and they came back literally, you know, in excess of $100 billion of savings. So that's pretty small in terms of, you know, a $2 trillion expenditure.
Right, and other people look at that report and come up with a $77 billion figure, but we're in the range. It's still a small percentage of the overall health care budget.
It is, but only in health care would something that was $77 billion or $100 billion be looked at as a small number. That's a massive number. And I think more importantly, what it does is it begins to set the stage for you know, consumer-directed healthcare, where I can be able to decide I want to go to hospital A or B for this treatment or that service, and I want to go there because it's cost-effective and the results are very, very good. So we think that quality is every bit as important to look at as cost. This is not about getting the cheapest care. It's about getting the best care, but what we know with certainty is that sometimes the best care is in fact also cheaper. So a good example, the hospital that does a procedure 5,000 times a year, maybe versus somebody does it 5 times a year.
And on the agenda, you also include a lot of interest in other kinds of insurance coverage, such as health savings accounts.
Again, yeah, that's right. Health savings accounts they are the law of the land, and it's a tool. And we look at this working. It is something that requires education on the part of the employer, but it's a way to help employees. And again, the ones who benefit most are the ones who are most into prevention. I've seen health savings accounts be used in conjunction with kind of plans where you get a physical every year, you monitor your care. If you've got the potential of a chronic condition, maybe you're pre-diabetic, you're dealing with that now rather than letting that become develop into a full-blown case where your treatment costs and your health impacts are going to be much more. I mean, smoking cessation, we know that's an obvious one, kind of a no-brainer. Everything from watching one's weight. I have plenty of experience in that area. Personally, you get into a lot of these issues, and we just think that the knowledge, having that, and then, of course, for the doctor to have that knowledge, it really makes a difference in terms of how they care. That's one of the reasons we like Gen Health IT. It gets that whole family health history out there, gets one version of it that's the correct one that you can take with you, no matter who your care provider is, and we want to, you know, whether it's my daughter or, you know, it's me, we want to be able to keep an accurate record of when we touch the healthcare system, what knowledge resulted from that encounter, and how that might be helpful to guide a future decision. We want to eliminate mistakes, Jackie. That's another area where there's literally billions of dollars wasted because of mistakes, and unfortunately, what goes along with that are lives that get put at risk.
I want to get back, though, to the idea of creating, improving and encouraging the use of health savings accounts.
Sure.
As you know, some critics will say that the people who would be offered these are the same people who would be least able to afford it because it requires more out-of-pocket spending up front. So why is this something that in the manufacturing world, where there are many lower wage workers, why that would be seen as a part of the solution?
Well, there may be lower wage workers in somebody's manufacturing world, but not in the United States. I mean, our manufacturing wages consistently are significantly above other sectors. But let me answer the question specifically. HSAs can be designed where I think they work almost regardless of income level, because the way I have seen them done and believe they can be most effective is when you're putting some of that premium cost up for grabs and saying to the employee, look, if you manage your health right, if you do things that are good, smart choices, some of that cost, we'd rather pay it to you than we would to an insurance company. We'd rather let you have the benefit to build up. And, you know, and you're seeing employees in a couple of years have enough money in an HSA to handle deductible costs. So, in effect, you're reducing the cost, not increasing it. And, yeah, I mean, the structure often is to have a higher deductible, but I've also seen employers work on phase-in periods for this. There's a lot of creativity out there. And so some of the critics, their minds start out closed, and so they don't open up to what are the real-world experiences that are going on out there. And I think you'd have to be pretty cynical not to say, hey, there's some pretty clever and creative things that are being done. And the one thing that we do with HSA is we can measure all this.
Let's bring this conversation around to the 2008 campaign for a moment. You came from the world of politics. You were a governor for many years from the state of Michigan. So two questions. One, do you look at the states or at the federal government at this point for real change in the healthcare system? And two, do you have a sense that the debate about the healthcare system now is any different than what you've heard in previous years and whether it will lead to real change?
Boy, some good questions there, several of them. I think that the change is going to be driven largely in the transaction between the employer and the employee. Ultimately, I think they're going to create different approaches. Now, I think there's some government help that needs to happen at the federal level. We think that greater flexibility in terms of healthcare plans, letting new almost associations of interests come together to do insurance is really a smart thing. I think the federal government's got a big role to play in the transparency of the system by certainly not getting in the way of health IT, but also in trying to require and because they're such a big purchaser, they also need to be more forthcoming in terms of what they're paying for healthcare and disclosing that. I think quality is largely assured, interestingly enough, by the states, and the states do the job of sort of gathering the physician data. I think everybody's got sort of a role to play. There's no question that that on the research agenda, the federal government's a major player there, and they need to be, I think, cooperative and thoughtful about how we can bring some of these life-saving drugs to market faster. I think the federal government needs to make sure that drug companies can protect their supply chain so we don't end up with adulterated or fake drugs in our market that put people at risk. That means not trying to make political points by, we've got members of Congress go over to Canada from time to time and say, I'm bringing back drugs that are cheaper. I mean, those are just stunts. And we think that, there's a role that sort of everybody plays, but at the end of the day, in a sort of a public-private partnership for reform, that some of the real creativity come from the private sector where they've got a lot of flexibility that the public overseers have allowed them to have. And so I think tax policy is also important. Oh, by the way, I should add that, because sometimes tax policy has driven the nature and the structure of the benefits, and it seems to me that we want to be, I think, even-handed across the board. We don't want to provide one advantage for a company and a disadvantage for a farmer, for example.
And just to wrap up here, I guess I would call it the quality of the debate that you're hearing in the 2008 campaign on health care. Does it seem any different to you than in previous election cycles, any more meaningful?
No. At this point, I would say it's pretty soundbite driven. I think that unfortunately, this topic is one that doesn't lend itself to the campaigns. I mean, some of the real big issues that confront America today, or America and the world, are very, very difficult to capsulize and have a, you know, I mean, health insurance for all. People will say, well, there's, you know, there's the 40-some million that are, you know, uninsured today. There's 40-some million that are insured, but they're in state Medicaid systems, a federal state partnership, and a lot of complaints about how that gets funded. And so there's 80-some million people sort of standing in the way before we even get down to all the millions of employers who provide coverage, and can they continue to afford it? And so it, I think the complexity of the issue is such that it's going to be, it'll be frustrating to even a brand new member of Congress coming in with the idea, I'm going to fix the health care system. What I do think can make a difference, though, is that if we continue in a bipartisan way, and this has been wonderfully bipartisan, this effort for transparency and using the technology, because I think we say in manufacturing, what we measure, we can make better. And in healthcare, I don't think we measure enough of the right things. And if we do measure it, we don't really tell everybody. And I think that's got to end.
Okay, a good note to end on. Thank you so much, Governor Engler, National Association of Manufacturers. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jackie.